Welcome, church, and I prayed for you a few minutes ago while Kirk was playing the piano that you can put away your distractions. We've had a little bit of a distracting morning, but God is still good, and we are going to worship Him and stand, sit, whatever you got to do today, but really engage with the God this morning.
Come thou fountain, every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of Teach me some melodious song sung by flaming tongues above. Praise a mountain fixed upon Mount of Thy redeeming name. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hear the by Thy help I go, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. How Your kindness yet pursues me, how Your mercy shall lose me. I will sing, oh, I will sing. Oh, to be so great a debt, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I fear. Prone to leave the God I love. Is my heart, Lord, take and see.
Drove it back before.
as long I know your light. Drive it back once more. There's one word from you, and things change on your authority. And your
cause I know you make a way, And I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see, but I will believe it, yes, I will believe it. And you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear, I will preach to my doubt, that you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now. You're faithful, Jesus. As I am standing on the hood, calling down to earth, you will fight my enemies, this will end in victory. And I will believe it, yes, I will believe it. You make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls.
Lord God, you're a sovereign God. You're a God that moves mountains. You're a God that deals with our worry and our stress and our fears. And each time we look to you, each time we look into your word, each time as we gather in a circle as Christians, those that call upon your name, we're reminded that you're a God that loves us, that you'll even move mountains for the good things to come our way that you prepared for us. And you didn't prepare them just in the moment, you prepared them a long time ago before the foundations of the world were set in their place. Your design is that we would do good things. Your design is that we would love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that we would love our neighbor just the way that we want to be loved. And in the midst of what we're dealing with, we are thankful that you're sure and strong, that you share your presence and your power with us on a daily basis. And we are making it through. We're making it through together. Yet, Lord, in the recent news, we can see the need for a greater sense of compassion in this world. A greater sense of compassion in our relationships with one another. And you do call us to serve, to help, to lend a hand, to make a positive difference, a positive spiritual difference in this world. As we worship you today, allow us to worship you in truth and in spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit brings us a great closeness, a great authenticity in our relationship with you and one another. And I pray as we worship, your Holy Spirit would be released. That we would once again declare your name and enjoy who you are, what you do, what you're doing in us and through us. A call and a purpose that goes beyond today. It lasts for all eternity, and we're very grateful for that. We want to pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this has been another unusual week. We've watched on TV more about the coronavirus. We've seen where compassion could be used in great amount in a divine portion for what we are building towards is a sense of unity. And well, we've been scattered by the coronavirus, and we're a little on the run from the violence that we have watched on TV or read on the news feed. This has been a week, a good week for the church. In fact, next week, we're going to invite you to come back here at Squim Community Church. Of course, there are some numbers that can only be present, and we've got room for some good numbers, I believe. There will be some protocols that we will be practicing, and all of those things will be sent to you by email or posted on our website. So if you are ready and able to return to the SCC campus, I know for one, I can't wait till you get back here because I would much rather be preaching to you and your smiling faces. And I know you're smiling, I just can't see them. It's been a good week in ministry. We are preparing for people to return. So the mask makers have been working hard and diligently. We've been able to help some people again this week. Part of that has been financial, but I was a part of a work team for a couple of days over at a home. And I want to thank everybody that came there to clean and wash the outside of the house and move furniture and take things to the dump. That would not have happened without your help and your efforts in that way. And that is what it means to be the church. It means that when we're in need, that we can gather together and bring our resources to bear in helping someone, in demonstrating compassion in more than just words. But compassion, by definition, is about what we do, how we help, how we encourage, how we support other people. And this week has been a great week for that. Around our campus. and as the church has gone beyond the walls, to other people's walls, to the lives of other people to help them, encourage them, and support them. Now today our scripture passages are going to be read by Mary Beth Buki, who used to be the youth pastor here at Squim Community Church, and the one and only Christy Paris, who had her 70th birthday last week. Happy birthday, Christy Paris.
Our Old Testament passages this morning come from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14:21. It is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. Proverbs 22:9. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. And then in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27, whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed.
This morning I will be reading from Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "We all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other.
Solomon has many wise things to say to us. And we've been looking at the wisdom of Solomon over the past several weeks. Today, our subject is compassion. And yes, I want to combine the wise words of Solomon about compassion and dealing with the poor and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Let's begin with compassion. I think we've learned a lot about compassion during this COVID virus time. We've learned that we can't be passive in our desire to help and to love other people. And I've been very impressed with all the stories that I've been hearing over these last several months about people looking out especially for those that are, well, disadvantaged in our world. Those that have lost their jobs, those that have been furloughed and are still not yet back to work. We've learned about checking in with our neighbors to see how they are doing. And we've understood the gestures, large and small, in wanting to help and encourage those around us. What's gone on this weekend reminds me that we could use more compassion. More compassion in the world, more compassion in our relationships with one another. In fact, as I was praying this morning on my way into church, I was thinking, you know, there's very few things in this world that a great dose of compassion wouldn't make a gigantic difference. Because compassion makes a difference everywhere we go. Compassion is one of the elements of our lives, of our relationships, that remind us that we are aspiring to be fully devoted followers of Christ. To be a fully devoted follower of Christ, to live our life as Christians, as directed by what the Word of God says. Well, we won't go very far before we read an example of Jesus being compassionate to others, or an encouragement that we are to be compassionate and helpful to one another, especially the poor and those that are disadvantaged. Now, when it comes to the poor and those that are suffering, those that are disadvantaged, those who are on the bad end of injustice, the Bible has a friend for all people in that category. We need to be reminded that we have a great advocate in God. Because He is a gracious God, He is a merciful God, He is a compassionate God. And when God is with us as we make our way as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are so reminded that God is an almighty God. That there isn't anything so large in this world, so hurtful and painful in this world, that we can't address it, that we should address it. The advocate, that's what Pentecost Sunday is all about. The advocate, the Holy Spirit coming to the church, coming to our lives, coming to this world. On that day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages so that everyone could hear about the wonderful things that God has done. Pentecost is about letting everyone know, everyone enabling everyone to feel the reality of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do up ahead. People needed to speak in foreign languages because, as you read further in the passage, people were from everywhere. From everywhere. And so one language just wasn't going to be enough to draw everyone's attention to God, to enable everyone to hear about the wonderful things that God has done. And Pentecost is about declaring the glory of God. It's about declaring the presence of God. And so we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus predicted the coming of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you wisely into all truth. And one of the truths that the Holy Spirit guides us to is that, well, we all have an advocate in the Holy Spirit, guiding us to wisdom and truth and right living. The other role of the advocate is to call us not only to God, but call us to our authentic relationships with one another. Call us to a greater world where everyone has been created in the image of God. Jesus is our example. He always took care of the poor and the needy as He made His way on this planet. And you'll notice it ran the gamut. Jesus was a very holistic God. He not only took care of people spiritually, but He also fed them. The Holy Spirit calls us to be advocates for the poor, the needy, the disadvantaged in our world and in our country, in our state, in our county, in our city, and in our sphere of influence. Hear the wisdom of Solomon on this subject. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. It is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those that help the poor. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. The call of the Holy Spirit as our advocate is a call for us to be an advocate for those who are poor, those who are needy, those who are without in our world. And that call is two parts. Number one, it's a call for us to open our eyes to the poor around us. That's what verse 27 says in Proverbs 28. But those who close their eyes, you know, it's so easy to close our eyes to pain and suffering around us. It's actually a natural thing for us to look away. Solomon is challenging us to open up our eyes and look around for those that are in need, those that need help around us, those that need everything from an encouragement to food to feed their children. The advocate calls us to be that kind of advocate. He calls us to be an advocate with our eyes wide open. Do you remember the first time that you encountered poverty? Someone who was poor? It was one of my classmates in the second grade. I learned that he lived actually right by the private school that I attended. Now, he was a little different than most everybody in my class because he was African American. He was the only African American in my whole class. And we played together on the playground and we coexisted in our classroom, although we were not seated next to each other in the classroom. And I think because of our time playing on the playground, I got to stay late after school one day. And I had some time between school and the sports practice I was headed to. And we ran into each other as we were making our way from the school. And as we got to his house, he stopped. And I asked him, why are you stopping? He says, well, this is my house. Now, I never lived in a big house. In fact, our home growing up was fairly Spartan, but this was much, much smaller than the house I grew up in. And he asked me if I wanted to come in. So we made our way into his house, and it was 3:30 in the afternoon, and no one was home. And I asked him about his parents, and he said he only lived with his mother. And she was at work. And so we made our way into the kitchen. As young boys, we were interested in eating something and having a glass of milk. He opened the refrigerator door, and there was not much in that refrigerator. There was not much in the cupboards at his house. And all of a sudden, I saw him, and the circumstance we were sharing is very different. A desire came out of me to want to help. I got a few quarters. You want to walk down and get something to eat? And he said no, that he needed to get to his homework. And well, he always wanted to have his homework done before his mother got home. And I remember making my way to the YMCA to my sports event and practice. Thinking, you know, I always thought I had it bad, but, well, here's someone that is really in poverty. And as you might imagine, that kind of first sight that really sunk into my mind, heart, and soul, it did change me. It changed the way that I related to my playground friend, my classmate. And I found myself, well, kind of wanting to make sure he had enough lunch to eat. Wondered how he felt when he was all alone in his home after school for 3 or 4 hours. We don't forget the first time we understand that there are people in this world without. People who are struggling to put food on the table and a roof over their head. That there are those that if we have eyes and we look to them, we have an opportunity to help. Now, I want to remind us here that not everyone that is poor is poor monetarily. Being poor in spirit, well, I can tell you this. Being poor in spirit may even be much worse than just not having money. How many of us, as we look around, see into the soul of people, into the heart of people, and we realize that they're hurting? That they have a deficit within themselves. Sometimes that's because they're filled with the pain of life, painful emotions. A person who's grieving, a person who has experienced loss in their life. A person who is stressed out and worried about the future, they don't know what the future holds for them. And there's an anxiousness and a panic in them. Yet they put on a happy mask as they make their way around their social circle. And if we're looking, if we're really and truly looking, we can see. We can see the pain in their eyes, their conversation, their body posture as they make their way. There's also that group I would put in the category of having poverty morally. That person who is lost in terms of their own inner being. They have a lacking, and it's a lacking of values and direction. Honesty, truth. They're poor on the inside, and it shows on the outside. How many people, as we encounter them, have a poverty of the soul? Who lack a moral code that would love someone else just as they want to be loved? There are a lot of people experiencing moral bankruptcy in this world. Oh, they've got lots of material things, but in the end, that's really not what makes a difference in a life. That's not what makes difference in a relationship with someone else. The Holy Spirit calls us to be advocates of compassion for the poor and the needy. And first and foremost, that's a call to open our eyes to who's around us and check the idea that just because a person looks like they have it all together, well, everybody's in the process of getting their act together, aren't they? Sometimes people are in poverty when it comes to friendship and encouragement and some wisdom that goes beyond just a moment in life. The second thing the call of the Holy Spirit is calling us to is to open up our lives. Yes, you won't open up your life if you don't first open up your eyes to the needs around you. And once you've done that, and once you understand that poverty has more to do with what's happening inside of us than we often think. There is visible poverty on the outside, but there's also a visible need and poverty on the inside. And so we then open our lives up to those who are in need. Proverbs 31, the noble woman, the noble wife, she, the noble wife, and any noble person, extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. We have to open our arms to the needy. We have to do more than just give lip service to the idea that we're called, that we're equipped, that we're directed to help the poor and the needy. Come alongside those that are on the bad end of injustice. We open our lives. That's what the noble wife did. That's what a noble person does. A noble person opens their life and makes a difference. Giving and lending a helping hand as someone makes their way. And again, the last several days has been that kind of an experience. A single mom in need of help. Help in dealing with her house. And so not just a couple people, but literally truckloads came over and went to work helping this single mom. Lending a helping hand. Doing for her what she could not do herself. When it comes to lending a hand, opening up our lives, it's interesting. We all have the same resources. Time, talent, treasure, and touch. And to open our lives, help someone out, gather them in, means that we're going to utilize those four resources. Listening to the call of the Holy Spirit to be an advocate for the poor, a compassionate advocate for the poor. It means opening our calendars, finding a place in our calendars that we can help. It means sharing our talents. How can we bring our talents to bear in helping someone? It means offering our treasures And you as a church are very generous that way. Thank you. It means extending our ability to touch and care and encourage and support and lift up. Let's not forget what Jesus says. Here it's the end of a parable. Jesus says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. To me. There's a big difference between sympathy and compassion. Sympathy looks at the poor and the disadvantaged and those in need, and they say, I'm sorry. But the person of compassion who is watching and ready with open arms, that person says, I will help. I will help you. Show me how to help you. Show me how to encourage you. Show me how to add into your life that has some minuses in it. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's come. And He comes and ignites in each one of us a very wise sense of compassion. He calls us once again to not only love God, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Jesus, I'm thankful that as you transform us and fill us with the Holy Spirit, you do change our perceptions about the world that we live in and how true it is that you rearrange our agenda. And simply, you call us out of our own selfish selves. And you call us to take our time, talent, treasure, and touch and look around for the person or persons that need our resources. You're a God who takes our simple resources and through the Holy Spirit, you multiply it in ways that we often can't even imagine. Because you are the Almighty God, you do miraculous things. Jesus, we're thankful for this reminder today that you have a call for us to respond to. That you've enlisted us to be an advocate for the poor and the needy. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see, minds, hearts, and souls to receive, and hands and feet to go and make a difference. And make a difference to your glory. And to your honor we pray. Amen.
Salvation purchased.
goodness of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission.
So open your eyes. It all starts there. Don't turn away from pain and suffering. Then open your heart. The Holy Spirit will tell you this one, and that group over there, this neighbor on your left. And once your eyes and your heart are engaged, then it's just up to opening your arms. Opening your life and making the positive difference in the life of someone else that only you are called to make through the Holy Spirit. Amen.